This morning, Lake Country Bible Church. I think there may be a few faces out there I'm not familiar with, and I'm thrilled to see. So if you're visiting with us this morning, we sure would appreciate it if you'd look in the pouch and the chair in front of you there. There's a form and a pen. If you'd fill that out, put it in the basket on the way out this morning to the right of the door there. Let us know a little bit about yourself. We could maybe get in touch with each other and talk and make you know how welcome you are to be here and how thrilled we'd be to have you come back again. So please do so.
Good morning. In case you don't know, this is not Terry Posey, but we'll try to do our best in his place. Announcements, annual business meeting next Sunday. We need all the members here to vote for the office of deacon. All the voting eligible members are encouraged to attend. Be here. We need at least the quorum. Prayer meeting next Sunday, or prayer meeting every Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. in the room back here. You're welcome to join. Women's Bible study resumes this Tuesday, January 9th. Terry Buckler's leading the study of 2 Samuel. All women are encouraged to attend. Wednesday night Bible study and prayer. Prayer and Bible study at 6 o'clock. Everyone is welcome here in this auditorium right here. LBC Christmas undecorating next Saturday, January 13 at 9:30 a.m. They need help undecorating the church of the Christmas. Fellowship potluck dinner is going to be January 21st. Please invite your friends, not only for that, but also for our church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being here with us in this church. Thank you for your church we call Lake Country Bible Church. You know, Father, all the things that are going on in the world, we don't understand. We don't really understand all of those things that our people are doing in our government and our country. But we, Father, come here to learn how to turn to you for every decision we make, to trust you in every situation, and not to be fearful, but to trust you and to turn to you. We pray, Father, that people that come here understand we're praying and teaching the Word of God, your Word, Father. And we pray, Father, for Mike McFarland today as he leads the service. We pray for Lake Country Bible Church. We have a leadership meeting right after church today. We pray for your wisdom and guidance in that meeting. We pray for this country. We pray your blessings on each and every one here and all of their families. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Daniel 8, 1 through 14. Daniel 8, 1 through 14. Daniel 8. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw a vision, and I was by the river of Euliah. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And I was considering, behold, he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came unto the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in a fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with a choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Out of the one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even unto the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the earth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard the saints speaking, and one another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, Unto 1,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
Some of you look a little sleepy, but other than that, your smile is great. Daniel 8. Well, a lot of stuff to cover. I don't know that I'll get through Daniel 8 this morning. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. But to look out and see all of you here. You know, there is an individual who is in our presence this morning, serves faithfully here in our church. He is here to open the doors. He is here. You want to, somebody go and let a visitor in. I think it's a visitor. Thank you. He is here to lock up after us. He sits there in the sound room. And, Tara, we've got it covered. Thank you, sir. He is here to make our sound room productive. And we appreciate him so much. Doesn't get mentioned a whole lot, but we should appreciate him. And this morning I'm going to ask you, along with myself, give Terrell Aaron Spear a round of applause. Terrell, I guess that is all right. Sounds pretty good to me. But so many labor behind the scenes. Lisa Spurgeon does our bulletin. Be instant in seasons, a phrase that I've used quite often here lately, and it was again demonstrated this morning at 9 o'clock. Ray and Ruth discovered that Terry Posey was not going to be here today. He was sick, or his wife was sick. He's taking care of her. I had found out about it at 8 this morning and got here and expecting to fill that spot. And Ray was here, and he filled that spot this morning. He's done a tremendous job on such short notice. But we have just so many people that I'm so thankful for that labor here faithfully, instant in season and out of season, and I appreciate y'all so much. We are going to have a business meeting next Sunday. Several items will be on the agenda, I think. I just praise God that the pastor is not one of them. And so let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for grace. Father, thank you for those people who are so faithful, instant, in season and out of season. Always, Father, there to serve you when called upon. And so, Father, we ask that you'd bless them extra special good. This morning, Father, we'll be looking, as you already know, into Daniel chapter 8. And Father, we ask that you would guide our study, guide our thoughts, guide our minds, guide our words. And Father, we pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, would minister the truths of your word today to each and every one that's here. Thank you, Father, once again for loving us like you do. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Daniel chapter 8. As we look into Daniel chapter 8, we find that Daniel chapter 8 is picking up and carrying on the thought a little more clearly, the thoughts of chapter 7, the history and future of the two empires that were described in chapter 7 we'll be looking at this morning. The time of this vision that Daniel had is stated to be in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. This was probably close to the end of his reign. The scriptures here in chapter 8 state that this vision that Daniel is having and living in the palace of Shushan, and he also, that palace is located somewhere in the province of Elam. Shushan later became the capital of the Persian Empire. The Ural River is the Ulysses River. We find here that Daniel's prophecy is written in Hebrew again. Daniel has used a couple of different languages, Hebrew and Greek, and so he's back into using the Hebrew language here in chapter 8. We find also the prophecy written in chapter 8 has nothing to do with the Babylonian Empire. That the Babylonian Empire has been covered, and Daniel goes on in the visions that God reveals unto him concerning the future. The vision we read about in Daniel chapter 1 through 14. We read that earlier, but I'm going to take liberty in reading that once again. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ual. And then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, and there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came up from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came up to the ram, and had two horns, which I had been standing before the river. and that I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. There was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. When he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. It was cast down some of the host and out of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given unto him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking. Another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden down underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel, he sees a ram, which had two horns, one being higher on his head than the other. And we find then that one was pushing westward, the ram was pushing westward, northward, and also southward, conquering everything in its path. It did not push eastward because that's the direction that it came out of. And he proceeded to take action against those that stood before him. Then a he-goat comes up on the scene with such speed that his feet seemed to not touch the ground. There was only one notable horn between his eyes, and he at once engaged the ram in conflict, in fierce battle, so much so that breaking of his two horns, no one was able to deliver themselves from this ram. We find that also the he-goat and the ram was locked in battle. The he-goat continues his exploits until the notable horn of his was broken and four other notable horns come up in its place. This is a rather confusing sight when we first take a look at it. These animals with horns coming up out of different areas of the globe, reaching one another and doing battle in such fierceness that we don't understand why this kind of battle was taking place. Then out of one of these four notable horns that came up comes a little horn. And this little horn waxed great. He was strong. He was fierce. And he waxed great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the pleasant land, or Israel, if you would. We find the direction that he did not wax great was the north. This was the location. Location from whence the little horn arises. The little horn bears watching and understanding, because there's much that we can learn from this little horn. It cast down some of the stars from heaven. And truly, it's a supernatural person, a supernatural entity doing a supernatural act. It is he who magnifies himself to be as God, causing the daily sacrifice to cease for a period of 2,300 days. This being better translated, 2,300 days. Mornings and evenings. The interpreters of the scriptures saw these verses, and they described them as follows. Daniel chapter 8, verse 15, and it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulal, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, fell upon my face, and he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. This vision is something that is going to describe the late events of this earth as we know it. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, fell on my face, and he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest, having the two horns, are the kings of the Medo-Persians. The rough goat, which is the king of Grecia, shall the great horn that is between his eyes, is the first king. Verse 22, and that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences, shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Verse 26, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Verse 27, and I, Daniel, fainted, was sick certain days. Afterward I stood up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. There are three things that we can take from this, and we need to remember when interpreting prophecy. Number one, the writer many times gives his own interpretation of what he is seeing. Facts of history, number two, sometimes give the interpretation. And number three, later revelation may give the interpretation. So in chapter 8, we find that the writer here and the history both give us the interpretation. Beginning with verse 15, the writer Daniel, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, leaves no doubt as to which or to who these two creatures are. He describes them in detail in the beginning, and then he interprets it. The ram had two horns, is stated to be the Medo-Persian Empire. The two horns correspond with the two arms of silver that we read about and studied about in chapter 2. And the bear, who has two sides, in chapter 7. The defeat of the Medo-Persian Empire is predicted, and history bears out the fact that this was accomplished by the next creature. The he-goat that we read about here in Daniel 8 is said to be Greece, and the notable horn is the first king of Greece, which was Alexander the Great. it is told, when Alexander the Great was in his campaign of conquering the world, that a Jewish scribe met him and showed him where he was mentioned in the book of Daniel. And this, Alexander the Great thus spared the land of Israel. Alexander the Great is predicted to be cut off, and in his place, four notable horns are to arise. History again comes to end to relate that Alexander the Great was cut off at a very young age. He died in a drunken orgy in the Nebuchadnezzar's former palace. He left an infant son who was not really too bright, and the army and the people of Greece were reluctant to reserve the kingship for him. Therefore, his kingdom was divided between his four generals. The he-goat, the one notable horn, with the one notable horn, corresponds with the belly of brass of chapter 2 and the four horns, which take the place of one notable horn, corresponds to the leopard with four heads in chapter 7. So we find some of these things are being brought out to light as to what they mean specifically. The name of Alexander the Great's four generals and the territory with which was divided unto them are as follows. Ptolemy, and to him was given Egypt, Cyrene, Syria, and the southern part of the Asia Minor. We find that Lysimachus, and to him was given Thrace, parts of Bethany, and Phrygia, and Lydia, and Mysia, and Cassander, and to him was given the Macedon and Greece. Pisistratus, and to him was given the remainder of Alexander's kingdom from the river Euphrates to the river Indus. At one time, it included the whole of Asia Minor. Everything which was predicted concerning the four notable horns taking the place of the one notable horn came to pass. Now we come to the little horn which arises out of these four notable horns, the greatest, the most dangerous of all the horns that were raised. And I believe that the little horn of chapter 8 is the same little horn of chapter 7. There are many who point out, and perhaps rightly so, the little horn of chapter 7 arises out of the fourth beast or Rome, while the little horn of chapter 8 arises out of the third beast or out of Greece. But if we carefully read the following verses in chapter 8, we notice that these horns are four notable horns and shall arise and also be existing in the last days, that the little horn arises out of one of them in these last days. The time of the end, which we're looking forward to as believers, shall be the vision in verse 17. In the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be in verse 19, and in the latter time of their kingdom in verse 23. So we find here Daniel is revealing in detail the world situation during these last days in which we think that we are living. These scriptures clearly point to the fact that these same four territories which were divided among the four generals of Alexander the Great shall be existing in the last days. I want to underline and to make sure that you remember that the fact that they are existing today, even as we are seeing these events take place and play out in the world in which we live. That portion of Asia Minor, which was the kingdom of Lysimachus, known now as Turkey, became a sovereign nation in 1929. The dominion of Seleucus which today is called Iran, became a sovereign nation or state in 1974. Cassander's old kingdom of Greece regained its sovereignty in 1832, and the last of the four, Egypt, was given to Ptolemy, became a sovereign state on October the 22nd, 1930. These four countries are to be existing in the last days, and the little horn is to arise out of one of them. We can see that the place of the birth of the little horn is now being set up. Truly, he will be on the scene, I believe, very soon. He may be living even today. The little horn is no one else but the Antichrist. He shall arise and become strong, and he shall arise out of one of the four kingdoms, the one which is of the north, at the time of this prophecy, which was Syria, or is Syria. We need to keep our eye upon this country of Syria, also Iraq. Iraq and Syria used to be united. Out of this territory comes the little horn, none other than the Antichrist. The little horn arises in the last days, the very last days. We can see where Antiochus Epiphanes was a forerunner of the little horn. This man did profane the temple before this time of the Messiah by offering a sow upon the altars. We find he did not exist in the last days. He caused the sacrifices to cease. Those days are yet to come. The little horn shall cause the daily sacrifice to cease. Israel, we need to remember, is to be back in the land in the end time. That's where she is today, back in the land, and will receive animal sacrifices in her rebuilt temple. We find today there are courses and instruction to Israeli priests on how to perform animal sacrifices in the temple. They are going about being ready for this time described here in Daniel chapter 8. From other portions of the word, we learn that he will confirm this little horn, will confirm a covenant with Israel for 7 years. We call that the time of great trouble here on this earth. We find also that this time of 7 years is confirmed with Israel for this time period, but after the 3.5 years that it begins with and seeming peace across the face of the globe, trouble breaks out. The Antichrist, the little horn, breaks the covenant. He causes the sacrifices to cease. In chapter 9, we're going to see the meaning of the abomination of desolation. The little horn who arises in the last days shall cause the sacrifice to cease for 2,300 days. We read that in verse 14. Again, I would like to point out that there's a better translation to that time period of 2,300 days, and that is 2,300 mornings and evenings. Why is that? When the translators first came across these words, they read 2,300 mornings and evenings. So they reasoned that a morning and evening is one day. So they translated it days. The question then we might ask ourselves is this: how long shall the sacrifice cease by reason of the Antichrist? We find that following by turning this page. The answer is given as 2,300 morning and evening sacrifices. What the interpreters didn't realize. Every day, two burnt offerings will be offered. One in the morning, one in the evening, known also as the morning and evening oblations. There are 2,000. There were 2,300 morning and evening sacrifices, and there were two each day. By dividing the number of mornings and evenings by two, you have the correct number of days. If we divide 360, which is the number of days in the Jewish year, into 1,150 days, we'll find how long the sacrifices will cease. They cease for 3 years, 2 months, and 10 days, almost to the day of the 300 or the 3.5 years of the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation. These days do not fully complete the whole 70th week of Daniel. Why is that? Is that close enough? I don't think it's close enough for Scripture, and neither did Daniel. Because here we find clarified in Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, which says that those days shall be shortened. And except for those days shall be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Yep, the little horn, the Antichrist shall be mighty, but not by his own power. That power can be given to him by Satan himself. We find in Revelation chapter 13, and he shall be indwelt by Satan himself. A number of the stars are his, and by the power of Satan he will cast them upon the earth. The stars, I believe, are the third of the host of heaven who have followed Satan and who shall be at the disposal of the Antichrist. But to him and his end shall come, and there occurs when he contacts the Messiah, the Prince of Princes, in the Battle of Armageddon. It will be the conflict of the ages. The seed of the woman, Christ, versus the seed of the serpent, the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the end, shall be in the lake of fire, as we learn in the 19th chapter of Revelation. But praise be to God. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we'll be out of here by then. By the beginning of the tribulation period, the 7 years, even before the first 3.5 years, we'll be out of here. The rapture will have occurred. We'll be able to stand upon the boundaries of heaven and look down and see all of this going on here on this earth. What a blessing you and I, who know Christ as our personal Savior, have in not going through this very difficult time here on this earth. We'll be looking at chapter 9 next week and hopefully be able to explain even further what Daniel is getting at with all of his visions. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the truthfulness of your word. Father, we rushed through things today. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bring to mind during this week these truths that we heard. So, Father, we thank you for grace. And, Father, ask your blessings upon the remainder of this service. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.